Hello, everyone. My name is James Saverson. We have some background noise if somebody could mute. This is the September 12, 2023 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have a quorum present. I'm going to ask R. Paul Martin, the secretary, to take the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Lisa Allen.
Adam said here. I heard Adam's here, and this is Teresa. I'm present.
Okay. Teresa Allen, you're here?
Yes, I am.
Sharon Adams, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Kamau Harris?
I'm here.
Julie Hewitt?
I am here.
Kim Kaufman?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden.
I'm here, and there's a big echo.
Yeah. Sean Kelly McPherson.
Me and my echo. We're here.
James Staggerton.
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Here.
Hey, that's 10. Yeah. You got a quorum. James, are you there? Are you on mute?
Yeah, sorry, I was muted. Reading away at the agenda while muted. Not good. Okay, so I'm going to read the agenda for purposes of discussing it. One, convene meeting. Two, roll call. Three, adopt agenda. Four, minutes for 5 minutes. Five, report from the executive director for 30 minutes. Number six, review draft consolidated financials for the period ending June 30th, 60 minutes. Number seven, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, is there any discussion?
I move the minutes as the agenda as read.
Okay, yeah. I didn't hear any other discussion. Is there any objection? Hearing none. That takes us to the minutes. R. Paul, I understand we have some minutes.
Yes, we do. I move that we approve the minutes of the August 22nd, 2023 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. Of course, they can be amended at a future time if any member wishes to move to do so. That brings us to number five, the report from the executive director. Stephanie, we, as usual, have this set for 30 minutes. You can take as much or as little time as you want, and we can extend if we go over. And thank you for being here.
Oh, of course. Thank you. And I also wanted to let everyone know that Markeisha, our business manager, is with us this evening. So I think what I'm going to do is we're just going to, I'll just make a very quick statement as far as the executive director's report, and then we can just go right into the consolidated financials. And then that way, if anybody has any questions, they can focus and both Markeisha and I field those answers. Things that I wanted to bring up with the National Finance Committee is moving forward with the consolidating the divisions and the stations' bank accounts into one single bank. Again, we are not consolidating all of the accounts into one account. We are consolidating the accounts into one bank. We have already a group of our stations and divisions that are already banking with one bank, and we want to be able to, you know, again, each division will still continue to have their own account within the same bank. We are not merging them. Each station and division will have access to their accounts in the same way that they have now. It will just be a matter of us being able to reconcile those bank statements ourselves between Markeisha and I, And also that would save the business managers time in doing so. And it will also save us quite a bit of funds as far as dealing with monthly fees, the cost per transaction, no more wiring fees, those kind of things. I didn't know if this was something that we can just go ahead and move forward with. A lot of the stations are ready to go ahead and move forward with that. We wanted to do it prior to the start of the fiscal year. Or is this something that the National Finance Committee is going to have to make a motion and approve for us to do?
Is that a question, Stephanie?
That's my question, yeah.
Okay. I believe that the board has moved on this, no?
I think it's been a series of discussions, but
I don't know. No, we have not.
Yeah, if it's been something said to do.
Okay, well, we can certainly discuss it here and see if we can come up with a motion. Do you want to finish your report and we can do that at the end, or what do you want to do from here?
The only other thing that I have to share is that some people have been asking for aged payable reports, and so I did send that out, the aged payable report of concern that usually gets sent to the PNB in my ED report on a regular basis. So that was a PDF file that was sent out to James and our Paul prior to this meeting. So that is, I don't know if that's been sent out to everybody. I can't mail things out to the committees. So if that is something that was that has been sent out, I didn't want to go over in open session the names of the vendors that are in that age payable report. But in total, we have about $2 million in aged payables, but Markeisha and I keep an aged payables of concern spreadsheet on a regular basis, and those are ones that may result in a cancellation of something or groups that we are working on to try to negotiate an extension of payments, or we're on payment plans with them already. But everybody should have that list of aged payables of concern with the vendor's names, the amount that is due, and then notes kind of explaining what they are. And the total aged payables that are giving us, that are on our to-do list or on our concern list every day, equal approximately $1.1 million.
Stephanie, could I respond to that very briefly?
Yeah.
I want to say that I did not send that out to the group, because when we were discussing it, I was thinking, actually, I was not thinking very clearly, if you recall, but I was looking for the age payables of concern and the other age payables. And also, I was thinking something like the audit that we need to do, but it's not an age payable yet because we haven't done anything with it, should also be on it, for kind of like to have a little strategy session to see if we're all in agreement on where we're going and, you know, what we're doing, what we're prioritizing. So I'm thinking also we don't have an executive session scheduled for this meeting, which is something I want to discuss maybe at our next meeting as well, just including a notice for an executive session at all of our meetings. So if we come up with a need for one on short notice, we can do it, but that's another matter. But we don't have one scheduled for tonight, so I thought maybe we could just do that whole thing the next time. Does that work
perfect
for you?
That's perfectly fine. Yeah, that's perfectly fine. And the cost for our audit is on our payables of concern. So that is, and it's only listed as an aged payable. I only have that on that list only as a reminder that we are past, you know, we have had an been granted an extension for our audit, but just so people know that that is on our list of payments that we do need to make. So that list can be sent out to the National Finance Committee when it's convenient for you guys to send it out, and we can discuss it or look at it at greater length at the next meeting in an executive session.
That's great. We can talk about that.
It was sent out this evening.
Teresa Allen for the staff.
Oh, hold on, Teresa. Paul, you sent that list out to the list already?
I sent it to the list at what is that, 7:45 or so?
Okay, well, that's not a problem. We can still deal with it next time when we have more information and the complete list of not just of concern, but the full list. Okay, I got three people for the stack, but before we do that, I wanted to welcome Markeisha and thank her for being here. That is a special treat for us, and I just want to let her know we appreciate that. So let's go with the stack that I heard. I heard Teresa first.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have three quick questions. In the last 3 weeks, has our payroll gone up at all?
Payroll has, yes, payroll has not gone up. No.
Okay. Has it gone down?
All right. Thank you.
Well, we are in the process of, there are some divisions that are looking at voluntary layoffs in certain areas. So even though things like that are happening at different stations, we don't see a significant decrease in any of those expenses until after severance packages are paid out. And some of those severance packages range anywhere from 12 weeks to 18 weeks. In some cases, it's 24 weeks.
Okay.
So there will be
Before you go on, excuse me, I just want to ask Stephanie. Stephanie, had you completed your initial report before we started in with the questions?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. I had heard that there was a large donation, over $180,000, that was put into the bank account of one of the stations. Has that money been applied to any of the age payables or to the audit?
That money was received. Not all of the money has been released yet as of from the bank. They're still, you know, just waiting for certain things to clear. There are some pressing aged payables that, although we know and understand that the audit is important, we don't have enough in that funding that was received to pay for the audit in its entirety. If we pay for just the half amount, the 50% of what they are requesting to start the audit, we could pay for that half, but then they would complete the audit but not release the audit until we have that remaining balance. I would be more comfortable getting the audit started when I knew that we had the total $75,800 to complete the audit, because we have other pressing issues that are coming up with payments that deal with workman's comp insurance. We have some other pressing legal, some FCC legal bills, things that needed to be paid. We also have the upcoming National Election Supervisor installment of that payment. And we also the workman's comp, and we also have some remaining DC health benefit payments that need to be made. So we're not having to make another $60,000 payment to that. We would like to make this a one-month payment so we don't get further than 4 months behind. And then we also have some other individuals that have emailed us over the last couple of days requesting payments for things as well.
All right. So one result of saying in public that we were receiving a large amount of money is that some of these people are asking for their money now. Okay. So my last question.
Teresa, excuse me. Your voice is a little muffled. If you could get closer to your mic or something.
Okay. The last question. Have we experienced a reduction in contractors in the last 3 weeks? I think that was something that the National Board had asked. So I'm wondering if there has been a reduction in contractors, and if so, approximately how much?
There has been a reduction and in the process of a reduction with contractors at a couple of the stations, but we're working with those contractors for that reduction. So there have been, we're in the process of doing that. There's been at least, I would say, probably four or five that have been reduced, and then we're still working on the possibility of removing them completely. But before we remove some of the contractors' work, we have to make sure that the work that they're doing is being covered by staff that we have, and if that increases the amount of, like we have one person at one station that is already full time, but they will be taking over the work of one of the other people that are being let go, and so we can't add on to that person's full time work. So we have to reevaluate the work that they're doing full time to make sure that they have the capacity to do the other work. So it's readjusting some of the other work that he's doing and then bringing in, giving the other, that amount of work that we're pulling from him to somebody else at a part time. So we have done a reduction, but it's making sure that we have the work that they're doing covered.
So have we experienced any reduction in expenses at this point?
No.
No? Okay. Thank you.
We have.
There's still some out. I'm sorry, Stephanie, but there's just still some outstanding bills, basically, for some of the contractors. So that's why there's not a reduction being seen just yet. So there's still outstanding bills to these people.
We get billed for contractors. The month, you know, I mean, that following month after they've been, released or the work has been completed. So once they're released, we'll still have at least a that will show up as an expense within 30 days following.
All right. Thank you. That's all, Jane.
Sorry, muted again. Sharon, you're next.
Okay, thanks. Yes, first I just wanted to make the comment that I am looking at the CPB website. I am reading the requirements for closed meetings. 2B, when may a meeting be closed? The Act allows stations to hold closed meetings or to close any open meeting when discussing any of the following, and then all the things we know. So there's no requirement for notice for closed meeting. And I'm just going to make an editorial comment that I find it kind of astounding that this organization doesn't understand that rule. And that's always a question, but that's my editorial comment on that one. My question for you, Stephanie, is in the age tables, I've asked at least twice now to see the amount owed to Arthur Schwartz, and I don't see that in here. I do see various miscellaneous legal in here, so I'm curious why we don't see what is owed to Arthur Schwartz, which I should say General Counsel Pacifica. Let me say it that way. General Counsel Pacifica. Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
We haven't received an invoice from our General Counsel.
Okay, well, I heard, maybe it's a totally a rumor. I mean, this was reported to me from somebody that it was stated that he's owed like $350,000. So it would be perhaps the PMB could take action and actually request an actual invoice for the amount that Mr. Schwartz believes Pacifica owes him. And I emphasize the word believes owes him. Okay. That was my question on that. And then my third question was just going
to... Would you like to let her answer that question before you go on? Or do you want to ask all your questions?
What? You want to answer it? No, I don't want you to interrupt me, James. I really get tired of you interrupting people. It's really, as chair, you're supposed to moderate, not interrupt. My question is, I kind of missed the beginning of...
Point of personal... Point of order. That was
no,
rude.
No, there's no point of order. Personal.
That
privilege.
Was rude.
He
that was
rude.
Hold on, Sharon. Please come to order.
It wasn't me that interrupted twice. I've had the floor.
Sharon, you're interrupting now. Please come to order. Please come to order. You just interrupted me now. So let's all calm down, Sharon. You're doing it again. Come to order, Sharon.
I really don't give a shit, Jim. Don't yell at me.
That shows it all. Come to order, please. I'm not going to counter this. I'm not going to entertain this argument. Please continue with your questions.
Thank you. That was what I was saying. My question is, And I'm just going to say, while I have the floor, I'm allowed to make comments, and being rude is kind of the way of Pacifica. And I really
Sharon,
appreciate
I asked you to come to order. Now you're out of order again. You're out of order.
I am not out
you're
of order, and I'll
order.
Just keep yelling if you
I said
don't
we were not going to continue that
me.
Conversation. It's not germane to the agenda, the point that we're on. Please continue your questions.
Okay, well, then we're going to hold that rule that whenever we get off topic on this meeting, I'll be calling point of order,
Sharon,
calling people
you're
rude,
doing it again.
And changing
you're
the
out
topic.
Of order. Please
I just
continue
want to establish
questions.
The rule.
I'm going to go on to the next person,
I want to
Sharon.
No.
Please continue.
I haven't asked my questions.
Please continue.
I'm trying to establish the rules for the meeting.
Now, I wish you would just let it go and continue. Thank you.
Well, you're the one that had to talk and interrupt me again when I said my question is.
Sharon, please continue.
My question is, Stephanie, I missed the part where Teresa was saying that money had been received and not released, and I didn't hear what the money was or what it was that had not been released. So I was just asking to hear that part again. I didn't hear where the money had been received from. Sorry. I didn't hear where the money had been received from. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
WBAI received a disbursement from AB Quest from a few years ago, and it was for a total of two payments totaling $189,000. The as soon as it was, as parts of it have cleared in the bank at WBAI, they sent $60,000 over to the national office to pay for central service fees. And a portion of the funds, I believe, also on WBAI side were used to pay for a partial payment to match a donation that they received from a major donor to pay past due building rent. So we don't want to use all of it like in one fell swoop to a one single vendor, but we are utilizing it, as I said, to pay for the some payments to our FCC lawyers. We are looking also to pay for a payment to our DC Health for our employees on the East Coast. And we are looking at the possibility of using some of it as well to help pay for the third installment for our election, national election supervisor. So we are just talking to some of our vendors, looking at the funds that we have and trying to best utilize what we have in the national office. And then, as I said, WBAI, we're also working with them to determine the best use for those funds as well.
Okay, thank you.
Are you done, Sharon?
Yes.
McFadden.
Thank you, Stephanie, for remaining civil. And I appreciate
point of
the...
order, objection, be rude.
I move that we mute the disruptive member.
Point of objection, rudeness.
Who is yelling? Who is that? Who is yelling? Let's proceed.
This is Beth. I made a motion that we mute the disruptive member upon any further disruption like that.
Well, I don't know who that was that did that, so let's just let it go for now, and if it happens again, we'll take that up. Is that okay with you, Beth?
If we act on it at the time, yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm sorry, McFadden. Go ahead.
Stephanie, I recall some months ago, first of all, I expected the aged payable to be actually quite a bit higher than what's shown here. I remember some months ago it being said the aged payables were about $1.3 million, and this is $150,000 less. Have we been paying down some of our aged payables? That's my first question. And the second one is there any timetable for the other large donations that have been we've been reported when they might show up also. And then the third thing I just want to say is I think it's I think you ought to thank the listeners at WBAI for again coming through.
The aged payable report that was sent to you is our aged payables of concern, which are the ones that have some sort of immediate possibility of power being turned off, policies being canceled, vendors that are, you know, that haven't been paid in quite some time and their services may stop if we don't make payments. The aged payables, not including any sort of past due central service payments, are at approximately $2.1 million. So the chart that was sent out is just the payables of the most concern for all of the stations and the divisions that Markeisha and I are keeping our eyes on a daily basis. As far as any other funds that are coming in, there are a few bequests that are still kind of tied up in the courts. And there's two regarding KPFK, and those are in the courts. And according to the different attorneys that I've spoken to with both of those, and our legal counsel is working on it as well, is that we're not looking at any sort of possibility of movement with those in the courts until early to mid next year.
Thank you, Stephanie.
You're done, McFadden?
I'm done.
Thank you. Anyone else for the stack with questions for Stephanie?
Beth has questions.
Go ahead, Beth. I have a few. I'll put myself on the stack, but I'll let anybody else go before me that hasn't spoken already. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. This being the first part of September and nearing the end of our fiscal year, I'm wondering when we might expect to see budgets for the eight Pacifica units for fiscal year 2024. If you
they will be available, they will be available for the National Finance Committee to review at the next National Finance Committee meeting.
Thank you. That's very good news. And I want to thank you for, well, first I should, before I say another word, I want to thank Markeisha for joining us tonight. Welcome. And please feel free to come back anytime. And thank you for the financials tonight. I'm really pleased to see that we're starting to catch up with that process. I'm hoping that having gotten the May financials done recently and going over the June financials tonight, that we can anticipate the July financials maybe by the end of the month. Might that be possible?
That is the plan, yes.
Excellent. Very good news. Thank you so much. And this will seem like a rather random question, kind of out of the blue, but whatever became of that large kind of orphaned artwork that we had in storage somewhere up in the Bay Area? Has that ever been disposed of? Are we still burdened by that? Do we have a solution for that problem yet?
We do not have a solution. We do not have a solution for that artwork. It is still in storage up in Northern California. I have sent images of that. The KPF and Maria at KPFK was kind enough to take a lot of photos of those pictures for me, front, or the paintings for me, front and back, and send them to me. And I did send them off to a couple of art houses and potential auction
Yeah.
sites in you know, art dealers, not just a general auction, but people that deal in art. The value of those was not nearly as high as we were told they were. So I'm really not too sure what to do with them because they are huge. And they're,
yeah,
the values have really ranged anywhere from, you know, $100 up to $800 an image.
Yeah. How many are there?
I believe about 10, 12.
Okay, thank you. Maybe I'll follow up with you outside the meeting. Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And that's everything for the moment.
Thank you, Beth. Stephanie, I've got a couple quick questions, and I'll start with how much is it costing us to store that? Do we know? So the monthly storage units?
It is. I don't know the cost of that on the top of my head, and they're just in a storage facility that we already have. It's not something that is, you know, above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Moving them would be very costly. So that they're just kind of sitting there. Some of them are, I think, like 12 feet tall.
I see. Okay. Thank you for that. Another sort of custodial matter. Were these new financials sent to the unit managers and the officers of the PNB, Heather Gray, the vice chair, and Nancy Sorden, the secretary? Of course, Julie Hewitt, the chair, is here with us, so she gets them. But if, let me just say, if they haven't gone out, can you make sure that they go out to the two officers and the unit managers?
Yeah.
Thank you. And then one more question. Implementing the new central services formula. You know, we established a formula where you go back 9 months, and from that date, you go 6 months forward. You average the revenue over those 6 months, divide by 15 by 0, you know, 0.15 to get the 15%, and then you have the monthly central service amount that's due. Has that been implemented with the general managers? I know the committee doesn't, or the PMB doesn't tell the managers what to do in that regard. Have you been able to work that out and communicate it to the GMs so that they know what their responsibilities are?
They know what the percentage is. We'll be implementing it in the fiscal year 24 budget.
Oh, you're not going to do it now. Oh, boy. That's going to cause some stations to have, you know, be reflecting a larger burden than they should. We had kind of hoped that that would be implemented, you know, pretty much immediately after we passed it. And I know there were issues with from the past and figuring out, you know, well,
we can
put it
in. We have August and September to do, so we can implement it into the consolidated financials for August and September, but it hasn't really been put in people's budgets that haven't been approved yet for this fiscal year.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good. But it would be good for everybody concerned to get the, you know, the actual amounts due coming in. That will be, you know, it'll work out well for some stations where they'll be have to paying less than they otherwise would be. So that would be very good. Okay. Are there any other questions for Stephanie?
This is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Are we getting into the financials now?
Well, that'll be the next item on the agenda.
Okay. I'll wait.
Okay. All right, one more call. Anybody with any other questions for Stephanie based on her report or just general questions? Okay, hearing none, why don't we go on to the next item on the agenda? And that is going to be the consolidated financials for the month ending June 30th, for the period ending June 30th. Stephanie, do you want to have Markeisha go ahead? Or are you going to start?
Sure. She can,
start, but we can go back and forth. That's fine, and answer any questions that people may have. Is that okay, Marquisha?
Yes, that's fine. And actually, I would hope that it really would just be a question session, actually. If everyone has had a chance to review it, I mean, they can ask any questions that they have or want clarification on.
Well, Marquisha, let me tell you, they did go out to the committee members at about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. I don't know how many have had a chance to look at them, but we can ask for questions from any who did. And Stephanie, I don't know if you feel prepared to perhaps walk us through a general picture.
Yeah, I mean, a general picture, I can just go through the year-to-date amounts that are listed for a consolidated all together, meaning all of the units. We have year-to-date, meaning, ending June 30th, 2023, a consolidated revenue of $6,531,520 with an overall, our expenses, not including central services, were $6,893,485 for a total net loss for all the divisions of $1,365,062. Shall I go through each of the units stating those same the revenue, revenue expenses, and the total?
If you wish, I just thought we'd have a little introduction here.
Sure. So for the national office, the total revenue for the national office was $155,955. Our total expenses for the national office was $832,527 for a net income, technically net loss, of $544,336. For the affiliate network, which they've had extreme success, actually, in bringing in their the renewal fees. They've started a new process, and they've had very good luck. I just spoke with the affiliate director last Friday, and they really were quite pleased. There's like a 97% return rate of everybody. They haven't had to make a lot of reminders for people to renew and send in their new form. So they were very happy with what they've implemented. But according to the statement, the total revenue for the Pacifica Affiliate Network was $175,189. And their total net expenses were $202,419 for a net income, actual net loss of $27,229. For the Pacifica Radio Archives, their total revenue year to date, $129,367. Their total net expenses were $133,256 for a net loss of $3,888. For KPFA, the total revenue has $2,618,151. Their total expenses before central services, $2,395,131 for a total net loss, $130,573. for KPFK. We've had a total revenue of $954,196. The total expenses before central services, $955,756. And then a total net loss of $377,212. And that's the example is, you know, James was saying if we had the different central services, the net loss wouldn't be nearly as great. The total revenue, now we're working on WBAI. The total revenue for WBAI, $821,353. The expenses before central services, $950,298. For a net income slash net loss of $318,953. For WPFW, let me just clean up my spreadsheet. Right, we hide some of the columns here that make it easier. So for WPFW, the net revenue, $1,119,171. The expenses before central services, $1,087,718. For a net income, or what would be a net loss, of $100,677. For KPFT, we have a total revenue of, get up there, $558,138. Our expenses before central services, $299,111, for a net income of $137,806. And again, these are for consolidated financials for periods ending June 30th, 2023.
Great, Stephanie. Thank you for that. That's hopefully beneficial to those who might be listening on the stream, as well as anybody here who hasn't had a chance to look at it yet. So do we want to start with questions for Markeisha or for Stephanie? Who has a question?
Arpal for a... fast one for the executive director.
Okay, Arpal, let me see who else might have one as well. Anybody else? Okay,
come
why don't
out
you
of
go ahead, Arpal. Oh, I've got to come out. Okay.
Already been
practiced, and somebody's got an open mic, I think. There we go. Thank you. Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay, just to make sure we're all on the same page. So of the stations, of the radio stations, four of the five are in the red, and the net loss for all of Pacifica is that $1.365 million figure, right?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Arpal. Kamau?
And can you put me on the stack? Thanks.
Gotcha, Kim.
I don't so much have a question about the financials themselves, more about process. Am I able to ask about that here?
Sure. I mean, if it's relevant to what the item we're on, which is, you know, the consolidated financials, which is, you know, just about everything is related to that. So let's try it out.
Okay. So I've been gestation limited amount of time. So I'm just trying to understand some of the processes and how we get to these actual financials. In preparation of the financials, is it your, what do you receive from our station that supports the financial statements? What actually are you looking at to actually post the transactions that end up generating the income statement? Are they invoices? Are they just a bank statement? Are they a combination of things? What are we doing to get to the finished product? What are you receiving from our business manager and station management?
A combination of everything. Bank statements, which I can also pull myself. Invoices, copies of checks, and any other kind of correspondence that they receive.
And is everything on the income statement a cash basis, or are you recording accruals into expenses that you know would take place but haven't been necessarily paid in the month?
I'm doing it on an accrual. So even if they don't send me the invoice for the rent or the tower and other things that I know happen every month, I do include that because I know that it's pertinent that we accrue for that. Like,
okay. And then in terms of a general ledger, do we maintain a general ledger for each station?
Yes, that's in Great Plains.
It is in Great Plains. Do we have the ability to view general ledger transactions?
But you want the general, you want the history out of the general ledger. Is that what you're asking?
If I just wanted to view, like a phone, the general ledger on the phone account or the rent account or any of the accounts, are you able to produce like a 12-month GL?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Kim?
Okay. I have some specific questions. And first I'm looking at WBAI. I see on line 13 under SCA rent income. I suspect that shouldn't be there. I think that should go on the P&O budget. And same with line 14, the grant income should go somewhere else. And I'm, you know, this isn't necessarily for Markeisha. It might be for our Paul to find out what these grant incomes on line 16 are. And then we have miscellaneous other income on line 16 for like $8,200. So I'm wondering where this PSA money is going or if it's coming in. And what's up with that? So this may be something you know, can get back to us on that. I see on line 60, the BAI has spent $14,000 in office expenses. I mean, this is like, it would take other stations like 10 years to get there. KPFA, which pretty much has a full building of, you know, people, their office expenses for the year was $2,800. So that's weird. Maybe somebody should ask about that. And What WBAI on line 80 is spending, well, 80 and, yeah, 80, mailing, postage. What are you guys mailing out? I mean, that's
80,000?
Pardon me?
You said postage is 80? 80 is what? 80,000?
No, line 80. On line 80. And then once again, you know, I brought this up with KPFK and other stations, and line 85, premium shipping, it's blank. It's blank on KPFK as well. You know, I mean, if you're spending money on premiums, there should be premium shipping costs to go along with it. This is CPB is going to look at this if anybody cares, you know. But that is part of what CPB considers the cost of raising funds along with premiums. So, you know, that line should not be blank. Okay, so that's that for that. I had a question about KPFA. They got like $47,000 in like miscellaneous other income. I'm kind of wondering what that is. Maybe Sharon or McFadden can kind of find out. So that's weird. You know, we have a lot of categories for revenue. And that's a lot of money just kind of with unidentified. Let's see. That's that. And I dealt with my KPFK issue, so I think I don't have any more questions right now. So thanks.
Mr. Chair?
For the staff.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, hold on. Thank you. Yes. R. Paul?
Yeah, can I answer some of the questions, which I
Yes, I was
up?
Hoping you would. I know you got some communication on that. And I heard,
yes.
Who was the other person I heard? Was that Beth?
This is Teresa. I requested
Teresa. I'll come to you next.
A little while back. Thank you.
I'll come to you next, Teresa. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. First, I've asked the general manager about these questions since you posted them on the mailing list. And regarding the SCA rent income on line 13, the general manager says in January 2023, we recorded a car donation for $3,116.60, rounding to $3,117. And he says he supposes this might be the explanation for that one. For line 14, grant income CPB CSG, which we haven't been there for a long while, he says, we received one bequest in April 2023 for $10,000 and another in May 2023 for $10,000. And he attached the checks. So I think he's saying that is at least one of those checks that somehow got into that line. Regarding line 16, whoops, it scrolled up, pardon me. Line 16 with a year-to-date actual of 8258 from the PSAs. He says, we never had a PSA income line, so I modified one of the grant lines we never use and added PSA at the end. The best explanation I can come up with is by giving you information on the WBAI PSAs. WBAI has a PSA income recorded of $4,687 and change on February 2023. However, my estimate is that we have close to $80,000 in PSA income, although WBAI's QuickBooks only shows just short of $40,000. Currently, see the attached spreadsheet with QuickBooks showing that figure of just short of $40,000, and the tracking sheet of PSAs secured by Linda Perry and me from the New York City Department of Health for $52,486. We also have the New York City Department of Transportation with comparable revenue. He continues, I will be working on documenting all of it soon in QuickBooks. Regarding line 60, the office expenses of $13,000, he says, see attached Microsoft Excel spreadsheets, one with the details I have on QuickBooks, and the other shows the percentage of expenses by companies and the QuickBooks. Where is it? The QuickBook. Here we go. And that coming up. This is the office expenses. My computer is being very slow today, and I am not sure why. I know if I try to speed this up, it will crash everything. So I have a red hourglass, and we will see it very shortly, I'm sure. Sorry, this is taking a bit. Here we are. Okay. All right. We have a total of 8,690 in what he sent me. The high points are Adobe, 1,834.39, and that comes out for audio editing software. And we've got it's also Apple is 1,592. B&H Photo, they provide various kinds of things, computer stuff. It's not just photography. It's a lot of audio stuff that they sell and all of that. Intuit, which is software, that's 2,177. And, again, he has it all adding up to 8,650. Now, getting into this other sheet here, does he add it all up? Okay.
What line is that 8,650 on?
Oh, actually, it comes up on the other sheet he sent as 8,690 altogether.
And what line is that?
We're talking about the office supplies, line 60, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
So that's line 60. And so there's that. About line 86, phone drive telemarketing, he says, it is currently $58,750 and change, and it includes past due bills owed to ACD. That's the call center we use. He says in 2021, ACD increased its rates to 97 cents per minute, and our bill is averaging $6,500 per month. And so that's what he has written to me about this. And if people want, I suppose I can forward this whole thing to the NFC mailing list.
Yeah, Arpal, please do that. I meant to do that, and I didn't have a chance to do it before the meeting.
Okay. All right. I will make a note to send that after the meeting's over.
May I follow up?
Come out of the staff.
You may. I just want to add a couple of things to what Arpal just reported. And one is that echo is still with us. I don't know if somebody's got an open mic or an open line or something. There, it's gone. Okay. A couple things. One is, I think Bertel is, first of all, he's using QuickBooks, and that's getting transferred to Markeisha, who then puts it into this consolidated format. So I know that Marquisha and Bertel talk a lot back and forth, and they need to talk some more to figure out how to straighten some of these things out. I also think that Bertel, at least in his budgeting, he's coding things differently than the way, you know, many of the stations are using a different process for creating their budgets. And I know that what is happening here is, for example, in postage, there are expenses for shipping premiums, and then the shipping premiums, I think the line was either empty, or one line was empty and one line had an exorbitant amount and it should have been divided. There's also a lot of IT expense in there for, you know, office supplies, which should probably be under programming expenses, not office supply. So we need to just disentangle some of the ways that this stuff is being described. And he says that when he tries to change a line in what he's doing, he has to go through a whole process to change multiple lines, and that makes it very difficult to change a line. So he just sticks things in lines that were pre-existing with other names on them, and then I think he tries to work it out with Marquisha to sort it out. Marquisha, does that sound right to you? Am I getting any of that right?
Yes and no. It's still a bit of a headache for him to even use QuickBooks, but I know why he does it. But yes, we try to line up with the same accounts, but it doesn't always work out that way.
Got it. So I think that explains a lot of why some things seem high and some things are low, and some things are not existent, or they seem to be on a line where they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.